All right, let's look again in our Bibles of Psalm 23, look at verse 2 tonight. As we continue on verse 2, the second part. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a blessing it is to know that our Lord meets our each and every need. And remember, as we study, that Psalm 23, of course, likens us unto sheep. And as we look at the body of the average sheep is made up of approximately 70% water. And just the same way in comparison to us, they say that us guys are made up of about 60% and the ladies about 55% water. And both people and sheep, fluid is very essential. And those are now that have lived in Arizona a long time and those who live in other hot countries, and Michelle and I is learning that fluid and water and clean water is very essential, a major component of each cell, and it makes for normal body function possible. It's much, much needed. And it's absolutely vital, as we mentioned, for sheep, all kinds of sheep, to have reliable supplies of pure, refreshing water. And if they don't, they will drink anything. I mean, it's polluted, they'll pollute themselves, they'll have parasites. And just like us, if we're not careful in allowing the good shepherd to guide and lead us, we'll partake in some things we have no business partaking in. And the eye gate, the ear gate, the things that we take in will pollute us spiritually as well. And we continue to see that comparison. So it's very evident that the livelihood of sheep depends upon the shepherd that leads him. And we too should only drink, as I mentioned, a partake of that which our shepherd approves. And if we're not sure if the Lord approves, it's quite easy to ask him, Lord, do I need to be involved in this? Lord, should I be partaking of this? In fact, sometimes we don't even need to ask, because just in asking, we really already know the answer. And we need to be careful that we don't pollute ourselves and taking in of things that would pollute us, or waters of things that would distract us, would hurt us, to hurt our testimony, and maybe cause others that are watching our life to figure it out, well, maybe they're not exactly what they say they are. And because we live in a world that has been marred by sin. And it's waxing worse and worse. And we know, as we read the news, and I've said it often, the best way to get up your blood pressure if it's low is to watch the news. The best way to get discouraged is to watch the news. But, you know, there are very few places where the shepherd can take his flock for water. And we live in a dry and desert land even today. There's very few places we can go for refreshing water, refreshing fellowship. And that's why, as I mentioned, Sunday fellowship, mentioned about being a church and other like-minded believers, it's a help to us to have those types of waters to drink from. And every one of God's sheep as well needs to learn to follow the shepherd so we can be refreshed by those still waters. Folks, I can't emphasize the importance of allowing the Lord to lead us and to guide us into every aspect of our life that we can allow him to. Number one, notice here, the shepherd leads his sheep to the dew on the grass. The shepherd leads the sheep to the dew on the grass. Letter A, the provision of moisture. The provision of moisture. Now, even in the hot, dry climate of the Middle East, sheep can get much of their need for water met by just grazing early in the morning. Isn't it something how it's also good for us to start with the Lord early in the morning? In moisture climates, sheep can literally go for months without ever having to actually drink, because they can partake of the moisture, the dampness of the vegetation there. Notice Psalm 42 and verse 1 and 2. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Does our desire to get in the Word, to spend time with the Lord, does our heart panteth like the deer, the passage Scripture is talking about, for the water that it needs? Do we pant for our soul to spend time with God? He says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I believe part of that importance of meeting with the Lord early, basically, I know some of us have a night job and you're early, might be late in the evening, but the aspect and the idea is spending time for the Lord before we get out to the dry world, before we get out to that dry and desert land where we don't see other believers, we don't have the opportunity. Folks, I don't know about you, when I'm here and I'm in town, whether no matter what the weather is, and I'm down at the grocery store or the Walmart or department store, and I see one of my church members, I don't hide from you. To me, I go and say hello because it's refreshing to see you, to talk to you, to encourage, ask you how your day is, and have a little time of fellowship. And sometimes we need to, you know, to stop and think about those believers that we know personally. You know, those ones that seem to be the most confident, the most serene, and the best equipped to face life challenges. And most of those, if not all of them, have that one thing in common, the daily quiet time with God is consistent with them. I don't know about you. I have those mornings when I get out of bed and things go awry before I can even start my routine. I've had those days when it's almost lunch, and here I am, I haven't had my quiet time, and I can usually tell, or Michelle can. And sometimes things happen, but getting back where we can to get it right and spending time with the Lord. Again, that contrast of knowing the time that we spend with Him. It's then, and usually very early in their day, that many of these people that we know, that they meet with the Lord and drink from the still waters of His Word. And dear friends, He provides it, whether it be the lightness, the brevity of the dew that He provides for us, or the still waters or the refreshing waters. We need to partake of those things. Psalm 5 and verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Boy, how frequent we hear that aspect of morning, how to start our day, when to start our day. Proverbs 8 and verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we don't have to go out and literally search for the Lord and wonder where He's at? Right, wherever we sit down to open His Word, wherever we sit down to talk to the Lord, wherever we sit down and ask the Lord to speak to us, He's there. We just have to show up. Not only do we see the provision of the moisture, but also notice the person of moisture. See, in order for the sheep to get the benefit of the early morning dew, it requires a personal involvement of the shepherd. Now, I believe with all my heart, that's why it's so important to be in a church where you know the Lord wants you to be and have that shepherd, have that pastor that will do all they can to warn you, to say thus saith the Lord. He will spend His time in the Word. And I know during the years of Michelle and I's early marriage, before we got involved in ministry, you know, everyone is different, but we spent time with our pastor. We wanted to. We wanted to be mentored. And when the Lord called me to preach, I mean, He really even more so pulled me in. We were often the first there and the last to leave, just to spend time to ask questions, to spend some time to talk with Him, get guidance from the shepherd that the Lord had provided us. He's the one who rises early and makes sure His flock is taken care of. These shepherds have a hard, difficult, time-consuming job. He's the one who must be willing to sacrifice His own rest to see to it that His sheep are benefiting from the early grazing and making sure that it's safe where they go, making sure there's lush grass, getting there early enough during those hot days to make sure there's moisture there. Psalm 121 in verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Well, isn't it good to know that we don't have to raise our voice in prayer to wake up our God? He's always awake. He's always there. I don't know how many countries that we have been to, books that I've read, places that I've visited where people are making noise and crying out to a God who does not exist. A God who's not there, or an idol, hoping to wake them to get their attention. Isn't it so comforting to know, even though the chaos is going on in the world, that we feel like we're living in a dry land, spiritually speaking, our government, the things around us, the things that are going on, but we still know that our God is still on the throne. He's still in control, and He's there to provide and meet our needs. The shepherd leads his sheep to the dew on the grass. And number two, the shepherd leads his sheep to the deep wells. To the deep wells. Letter A, the digging of the well. Anybody here ever dug a well? Boy, I tell you what, it's rough work. I know my dad told me, I never have. I've dug a hole. I've moved sand around the yard to fill holes in Florida as a kid. But I know a few years back, my dad dug a well. We talked about it. More modern tools today makes it a little bit easier. But he did it himself because he likes to work. He likes hard work. And then a shepherd, as we see here, the digging of the well. In many countries where water is very short supply, a shepherd must dig deep wells to provide for the needs of his flock. The shepherd does the work. And dear friends, isn't it no comfort to know that he's done all the work? Now, we need to make sure, we need to show up. We need to pray, we need to do our part, but he does the heavy lifting. He breaks up the ground, the shepherd does. He scoops out the dirt. He lines the well with rock, all in preparation for his sheep. It's something the sheep are totally incapable of doing for themselves. Boy, what a picture of knowing that how the Lord provides for us and so many things that we're incapable of ourselves. Doesn't that sound familiar? The Father sent the Son. He did the work. The Father gave the Son. Again, he did the work. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent the Son. The Father gave the Son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I didn't finish because I think you should have it memorized. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did the work. The Father gave the Spirit. Once again, he did the work. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Boy, do we ever really take the time to think back to be thankful of all the work the Lord has done on our behalf. The things that take place that we have no business going on. We have no idea what's going on. The protection he gives us. I wonder how many times I've been going down the road that God has protected me. You ever seen the brake lights? And going up and later find out there's a horrible accident and then thought to yourself and remembered, maybe that's why I'm running late today. I would have been up there. It's the Father. He does the work. He does the guiding. He does the protecting. He does the digging. He does all that is needed. The digging of the well. Then let it be. Notice the depth of the well. The depth of the well. Let me read a quotation here from a shepherd's look at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. To appease the craving of their souls and emotions, men and women will turn to the arts, to culture, to music, to literary forms, trying to find fulfillment. And again, so often these are amongst the most jaded and dejected of people. Dear friends, there are those who, to quench this thirst in their parched lives, have attempted to find refreshment in all sorts of physical pursuits and activities, but yet to find nothing. I think I may have given this illustration before, but I'll share it again just to remind you, is that I really believe with all of my heart there's people in this community that know there's a need and there's an emptiness in their heart and their life that they're looking for. They're not quite sure what it is, but they know there's something missing in their life. And here's the best illustration that I heard someone give. I would give them credit, but I don't remember who it was. But the preacher asked me the question, have you ever went to the cupboards searching high and low for something to snack on or eat because you're hungry? And to look around and cannot find what you're looking for and say to your wife, sweetheart, I'm hungry, but there's nothing, no snacks. For her to reply goes, what do you mean? I just loaded the pantry this morning from the grocery store. There's plenty of food there. It's just nothing caught your eye for what you want. You don't know what you're looking for. You're not sure what it is. Or it's something that knows you don't need and she didn't put it in there. But the bottom line is, mankind are still that know there's something missing in their life. It's up to us to introduce them to that. It's up to us to let them see that. It's up to us at times to play and allow the shepherd to use us to lead others to the still waters or to the brooks that they need. These are men and women like those that Jeremiah spoke of, looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Drinking deeply, but from the wrong well. Those of us, as I mentioned last week, that got saved later in life, some of us had the privilege of being saved from a life of sin and some out of a life of sin. You know what I'm talking about from drinking and partaking of the wrong well. And there's many that are out there. Jeremiah speaks of this in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. dear friends, you will never find water to satisfy your thirst by drinking from broken wells of the world. The world has all to offer, much to offer. They do, but all from the wrong type of well, all the wrong things. You need to drink from the deep wells of God's Spirit, the Word of God, Christian fellowship, time in prayer with the Lord. And dear friends, that means that you as his sheep, we as his sheep, need to rely completely on our God, our good shepherd. He has provided his Spirit for us to guide us, to direct us, if we will listen. He is the one who drew you to himself by the power of his Spirit. He made it possible for you to know his indwelling presence. So why not trust him beyond salvation, but trust him in our walk, in our daily life, in our ministry to others? Romans 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then number three, the shepherd leads his sheep to the dangerous streams. And to know in this old sinful, wicked world that we live in, God still guides us in and out and through these things. Letter A, the safeguard of the shepherd. See, when the flock is led to the high country for summer grazing, there is usually plenty of water available, but it's not easily accessible for the sheep. It's dangerous. As a matter of fact, it can be extremely dangerous. The shepherd's watchful eye, his skillful labor, protect sheep in dangerous and fast-moving streams. Think about steep banks make it dangerous. Swift waters make it dangerous. Soaked fleece, watered down, waterlogged fleece make it dangerous for the sheep. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Dear friends, we may have to live in this world, but we do not have to allow the world to live in us. We will face these things, and the Good Shepherd is there to help us during those steep embankments, during those swift waters, and those times that we feel soaked or drenched or pressured by the world around us. And sometimes that pressure, I'm not going to dwell here long, I'm going to move on, but sometimes that pressure is not just from the world. Sometimes that pressure is from carnal Christians. Sometimes that pressure intervenes to those that maybe are not the right influence for us, but we have to make sure we are the right influence for them. Not only do we see the safeguard of the shepherd, and dear friends, I don't know about you. I do my best, as I mentioned earlier. Anytime that I see those brake lights and I see the traffic, I try not to complain. I try not to get frustrated and wonder what's going on. It's going to be another backup. I'm going to be late. I try my best to say, okay, Lord, thank you for protecting me from whatever's up there. Even if it's only a speeding ticket. Thank me for protecting me from whatever's in front of me, whatever accident that may take place. But notice the supply of the shepherd. The supply of the shepherd. Because the mountain streams are dangerous for the sheep, the shepherd must step in. And we also, as we are compared to that, we must allow the Lord to step in and help us. He takes his crook, and with it, he's able to dam up a portion of the stream with rocks so that his flock can drink from still waters. Sometimes the Lord has to scoop in maybe and get our attention with the word. So that's why it's so important that we memorize and learn scripture, that we can bring it back to memory when temptation comes our way. Isn't that exactly, again, as the shepherd uses his crook, isn't that exactly what God, our good shepherd, has done for us in giving us his word? Giving us a tool, a weapon to protect us. As we hide the word of God in his life, we get in that swift moving waters, we get out into the world where it's dry and desert and hot, that we can recall and use the word of God to refresh us at times that we are discouraged. And that's what the Lord does for us. The word of God provides pure waters for our souls. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water of the word. In the scripture, we find still waters are for our souls. Again, in Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the heathen. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, the word of God can find satisfying waters for our souls. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Folks, I don't know about you, but praise God. Praise the Lord. It has all been supplied by our shepherd. I had an opportunity to talk a few moments with Brother Tony before service has started, and reminded me how he's been here since 68, and it's still just as hot today as it was back then. Some summers hotter, some not. It's what it is. We've gotten used to it. And as we go out and we see this aspect, we need to remind ourselves as well, as Christians, we live in a dry and desert land, spiritually speaking. And we are to be the moisture on the vegetation. We are to be the fresh waters and bring the others that need to hear. We are to do our best to allow the Lord to use us and bringing that refreshment to those that are seeking the truth, those who are seeking something that is missing in their life. And as we pray for our community, as we pray for revival, you know, on purpose also pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, help me to befriend someone new. Give me the opportunity to do that, to invite someone to church. And then also, as I mentioned on Sunday, enjoy the fellowship with one another. I, folks, on the end of the day on Sunday when I go home, I'm tired. And this hot summer and this heat zaps me, I'm even more so tired. I'm beginning to learn and understand what it's like at night. I used to tease my mom and dad to watch them doze off at 9 o'clock. I'm doing it now. Getting tired. But you know what refreshes me even when I'm tired and strengthened is when I see one of my church family, when I spend time with them, when I see them at church, when I see them in town, I have an opportunity to meet them for coffee or for meal or for fellowship. It refreshes my soul. It encourages me. And that's why it's important that we pray for one another and realize we have the great shepherd. And as we study and look at this Psalm 23, how he provides for us, I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how much work that he has done on our behalf. Sending his son, providing the still waters, giving us his word. We still live in a land and a country, folks, that most of us have several copies at home. Some live in our countries and lands where it's illegal to even print the word of God. At one time I had in my hands, I can't remember what I did with it, I probably gave it away, but I had a Bible that was actually printed in China that were all had to be exported because it was illegal to have them. They would print it to make the money to send it back, but none could stay in the country. We have so many, but yet there's other countries that are even still, missionaries still working on translations and working to get it into their language or through their dialect. Let's not take for granted what the Lord has provided and worked to get here for us. And let's do all that we can to share it and then also remember to enjoy what he's provided for us. Enjoy the word. Enjoy the relationship. Enjoy the quiet time. Enjoy one another. And I don't know about you tonight, and I'll say this and we'll pray. I got excited to hear souls being saved in Argentina and then them wanting to see more souls saved in Argentina. And the same God that is working in Argentina is the same God that wants to work here. So let's do all we can. And again, I am, you'll probably hear me making quotes, and I'll give reference to when I can. Sometimes I forget who it was as I begin reading some things again about revival, reading some other things in my studies, and I'm getting, asking the Lord to give me that burden and that fire that I had when I was a little younger. I'm a talkative fella now, and I haven't met too many strangers. But when I was younger, even more so, and had a little more energy, there was times on the mission field I would not go to bed at night unless I had an opportunity to talk to at least one person about the Lord. I wouldn't go to bed. I was going to find an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. And I got that challenge from reading a book about Moody, who made that commitment to the Lord, went to bed one night, couldn't sleep, and the Lord reminded him, hey, you didn't talk to anyone about the Lord today. You promised me you would do. He gets up at 2 and 3 in the morning, murmuring, complaining, what crazy person is going to be out at 2 in the morning, Lord? But I'm going to go. Got his hat on, put his overcoat over his pajama gown, and got his hat, walked out the door, got up the road a little ways. He said, well, there's somebody as crazy as I am, somebody out there walking their dog. He went, witnessed to them. He said, you know, they did get saved that day. But I tell you what, when I got home and back in my bed, I fell right to sleep. Let's ask the Lord to help us. I'm not asking you to make a commitment to God to make sure you witness to somebody every day. But is it too much to ask and say, Lord, make sure, help me when I have opportunity that I don't waste it, that I don't forget, hey, here's an opportunity. Amen? All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Good to have the Cenas back. Brother Ken, will you dismiss us in prayer?